Thank the light, everyone. I'm here and excited to watch some Wheel of Time. And this is my wolf brother, my single wolf brother and wolf brother.
Just the two of us. It's like old times, buddy.
We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
It's like when we started this little thing, just us two.
2 long years ago. That's right, everybody. Jeremy's busy. We couldn't wrangle a third. And so we're going to hold this down, like Justin said, just like old times.
I'll say we had the editor, and he got called away for his, you know, his real life job. So, you know, that'll happen. And I feel like I can say this because, you know, we're family, but Jeremy's going through some shit, and that's all right. We'll wait to have him back. And love to you, cuz. I know you're going through a lot. So peace, love, and hugs and all that good stuff. And we'll see you soon.
Jeremy, we're with you. And if you need a break, come join us for 5 minutes if you just want to break out of it. I'm not going to strong arm him too much because he is busy, but I'm going to try to get Jeremy on the Princess Bride episode because, you know, he can talk about some bullshit. Wheel of Time might be a little heavy for him right now, but
yeah, life may be a little bit too heavy to be overly positive about stuff. So I get it.
And kind of on that note, so anyone who missed our episode last week, we recorded a comment. Well, we talked while the episode was on. We didn't end up really making a commentary track, so it didn't really feel like it actually played along with the episode. We made a few good points. There's some stuff in there. I may at some point chop it down to the 25 minutes that we did talk about episode one and release that as our season two, episode one, notmentary. But as far as having a watch along companion, we failed miserably. So hopefully we'll do a little bit better this time of discussing what's actually happening on screen and not all the other Wheel of Time stuff that pops into our head and all that stuff. We'll have plenty of time for all that other Wheel of Time nonsense. This is about episode two or episode three. I'm only doing one intro today, people. We're just going to roll right through these two. Episode two, Strangers and Friends. Justin, do you know what episode three is called?
Dang it, I don't.
Well, when we start talking about episode three, we'll say it loud and proud. But right now we're about to hit play on season two, episode two. If you don't know what we're doing a full length commentary. That means we're going to watch the movie and talk along with it. There's going to be some silence when we're just excited watching. There's going to be Justin talking to no one when I'm going to the bathroom. There will be some times where we get off base a little bit, I'm sure. But if you're looking for a buddy to rewatch season two with, enjoy this. Or if you've seen the episode a couple times and you just want some extra insight, just throw it on and go mow the lawn. I know how you do out there.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing. You fucking lawn mowing podcast. If it wasn't for vacuuming, I wouldn't listen to any podcasts.
Yeah, driving.
So we're going to hit play here. We're going to kind of discuss what's happening in front of our screen so we can all get synced up, and then we will enjoy this episode. We're going to start it right now at 000 with the Amazon logo flashing. Hit and play.
Tell me when you get to about 1:15, Des.
Something is coming, and we're not ready for it.
We got a previously on.
But you have 10 times that power, Nynaeve. I want to see you become so powerful.
Nynaeve's getting... Matt? Ooh. Do we ever meet the man from the North Harbor? We don't, do we?
That's her son. That's her son.
Oh, that's her son.
Yeah, I was very wrong about that. I was listening to some of our old episodes, and that was one of the things I was like, oh, I'm wrong about that. It was not a, you know, man who could channel. It was not some sort of romantic interest. It was her son, who is obviously old enough to be suffering some sort of ailment.
Yeah. So
that was interesting, and I didn't see that coming. They've expanded Leandrin a lot, and I think that's a positive thing for where we're at. So
previously on is over. We're at 108. Rand is standing behind the fire, grabbing the sword, gasping. 120. So this is the first time we're seeing Rand this
season. Yeah, intro to the episode. First time you're seeing Rand, really. And, you know, all I have to say about that right there, I think that, you know, obviously his dreams are being messed with right there. But by who? Are they being messed with by Ishmael? By someone else?
Gotta be Lanfear.
I would think it would be Lanfear.
I mean, she's the queen of dreams. Like, she can fuck with someone's dreams just...
Yeah.
Without wasting too much... Not that she wastes too much energy on any of her powers. She is badass.
Yeah, she definitely is. But if you catch, there's a little foreshadowing there. Matt is missing an eye in that. And I believe...
Oh, I keep missing those.
I believe Perrin had an axe in his chest. That might be the one that's in Nynaeve's. There's another foreshadowing that's kind of similar to that. I don't think it's until next episode, but, you know, Perrin's got a big axe in his chest that, you know, probably looks like his axe. Matt's missing an eye. But Matt, you know, or Rand has just killed all of his friends in a dream. And Matt is missing an eye. So he's got blood all over his Heron Mark blade, which is kind of interesting to me. I think it's two.
Are these definitely all foreshadowing and not just fears?
I mean, I don't know, but I would say I lean towards the foreshadowing part. You know, one of the very large things is Matt has to do something.
I mean, Rand's got to have the power to like undo some of the like what's the word? The destiny.
I mean, yes and no. Yeah, Rand's getting some breakfast naan from the homie. Just kind of frisbeed it to him. I love that.
The four gate. This is cool.
This is cool too, Des. You know, if you've ever in the books, you see you hear him talk about the topless towers of Carheen.
Oh yeah.
That you saw them in the background, still like with the scaffolding around them, like because they're still being, you know, rebuilt or whatever.
So that's what they mean. They just keep building them. They never get to the top.
Yeah, because they were basically broken and burned during the Aiel War. So
in the asylum.
Yeah. Also, we kind of missed it, but Lanfear was kind of like, you know, basically sex for room and board, inappropriate. First of all.
I mean, if you're in a committed relationship, aren't we all kind of having sex for a roof over our head?
I mean, I guess in a certain way, from a certain point of view.
Is sex the only reason you're with me? Like, no, but sex is the only reason we're not best friends.
No, it's warm here.
The snake eating its tail.
You get a couple of pictures of like toy horses in this episode, and some people were kind of looking at the like the Trojan horse aspect of what Rand is doing, you know, working at the asylum to try to get in touch with Loghain.
Oh.
I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, another thing right now, you're seeing like, you know, Lan's doing a really good job because his arm is hanging over and Moraine looks really, really labored. They were only healed with you know, spirit, air, and water, which is three powers, instead of the way that's kind of the way the tower teaches to heal, was just those three powers. Nynaeve, when you see her in the cave, she heals with all five powers, and everybody's just kind of like, okay, good to go. All right.
Oh.
When you heal with the other three, a lot of it comes from the person who you're healing. So if they're a pretty healthy and hale person, it will take a little less of the power from the Aes Sedai to heal them per se. But when you use all five powers, it's like you don't have to have that recovery time afterwards, and you're hungry as hell, and you just, you know, you're exhausted, and it takes, you know, a couple of days to get back to normal. I gotta let my crying dog upstairs. Hang on.
We need to leave if I'm to make it to the docks before sunset. I've lost too much time already.
Where exactly are we headed?
The White Tower.
6 minutes.
Have Tomas ready my horse. They're still weak from the healing. And I don't want my saddle to slip.
Mm-hmm. We certainly won't bloody well catch him if that goat-licking bastard refuses to ride a horse.
Tracking's not easy to do from horseback.
He's just sniffing the bloody air. It's not proper tracking.
Well, he's kept us on Fane's trail.
Quiet.
It's funny, I was listening to an episode on headphones today and I caught it was like you had spliced audio and I could hear like what I had just said, like being said, because I was obviously talking over Jeremy or you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could just barely hear it on my headphones. I'm like, what's that? Like, it's your loud ass. He can't cut you out because you're so fucking loud.
I separated the audio and you're still there.
And I'm still there because I'm fucking loud. You know, it's funny. Wifey, you know, just she called Uno's peril like so fast.
Yeah.
She was just like, you can't get away with talking to people like that. That guy's dead. And I was just like, I was watching kind of a recap today. And it's like, you know, unless you had some inside information, you know, or, you know, you worked on the show, it was kind of a shock about Uno. I was like, not for me. My wife told me in the first episode. And then I was like, the closer that we got to it, I was just like, shit, she's right. Shit.
He may as well have been a soldier talking to his to-be bride before he left for war.
Yeah. Or might have just had sex and said, I'll be right back in a horror movie. You're done. It's officially official. You're done.
Uno,
dos, tres, goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Perrin's going to see some shit.
Perrin with the sword is kind of funny because I don't think he picks up a sword in the entirety of the show.
So he's seeing this, like he reacted to it, like he said hi to them.
Yeah, he sees it like it's happening in real time. He really doesn't understand, at least not at first. He starts to see it now and he's like, oh, what?
But this is what because he smells fear, basically, or terror or something.
In the books, the sniffer, who they're kind of merging Elias and Perrin with some of their abilities, how they can track people, you know, the sniffer, he can smell violence where violence has been done.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a version of that. The fact that he can get kind of, I don't want to say visions, but I don't know what a better term would be, but he gets kind of like, images and visions from the wolves, but that's not what this is. I think this is him kind of sensing and smelling the violence, if you will.
Yeah. Well, because he's definitely getting vision. I mean, because like I said, when he first walked in the room, he was like, oh no, don't get up or something. Like
he's like, oh, our bad. We didn't mean to just walk into your house. We were having dinner. And it's like, they're not really there, buddy.
Yeah.
I do like the, there's a little bit of, there's just a few Easter eggs right here, you know, as far as seeing the woman in the window and then they're in the little kind of town village and then the fade's nailed to the door. It's just a few Easter eggs. It's not how it happens in the book, but I'm still okay with it. I still enjoy it. You get to see some cool shit. That's gnarly. Look at that mouth.
Dude, that is nasty.
What if you had to be a dentist for a fade? Make sure you floss.
Fades seem like sharks to me. I bet they can lose as many teeth as they want. They just grow right.
Yeah,
back.
That's a good point. You got Trolloc dentistry. That's where the money is.
Did you get your package today?
I did. Thank you.
You did? Okay. That's so crazy because Lola got hers too. So that's why I was surprised Jeremy didn't get his.
I believe you've sent something else out like same time like that. And we got it. I got it first and Jeremy got it a couple days later.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Jeremy lives like an hour away from me and Justin lives a 2-day drive.
Oh, I forgot to be your parting the silk Sedai today.
Who is this? Is this anybody?
He's just a random guy. No, he's just a random guy. He obviously fought in the Aeol War.
Oh, there's a horse.
Yeah, there's another horse. There was one when Bran's rocking down the street. He actually kind of crosses paths with the lady who has, she has a quisiera, like the little stone that Moraine wears also.
Oh, yeah.
She has one too. And there's a horse right there. And this guy's got the horse in his room. But this guy was obviously a blade master and has some PTSD. He thinks Rand is an Aielman the second he walks in the door.
Because he fucking is.
I mean,
he's not by trade, but he is by blood.
Yeah, you know, half anyway.
You know what? If your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish.
You're Jewish. Definitely you're Jewish. You're part of the tribe. This episode's good, though, because you get a nice juxtaposition of Rand because, you know, you do see his kindness. You know, he gives the little boy some money. He's taking care of this guy. But, you know, Rand's about to get into some shit. But I feel like he's being already manipulated by, you know, obviously he's been manipulated by Ishmael the whole first season. But I feel like Ishmael's still fucking around. But I think most of the mind fuckery that's going on this season is from Lanfear. Even when we're seeing Ishmael with Rand, I don't think it's Ishmael. Because I think Ishmael's busy with the Shanchan and with Perrin. I think when we see, may or may not be confirmed, but I think when Rand is seeing Ishmael in his dreams, at least the first part of the season, I think it's actually Lanfear.
Yeah, I think. You didn't, because I found it on Reddit. I found a pretty good, I'm going to stick to Reddit because I know you're not on there, so I might actually find some things you don't know or haven't heard on Twitter.
Yeah.
Someone was talking about how, like, they're like, someone was complaining that, like, dude, Ishmael could have just destroyed all six of them at the end of season two.
Yeah.
And someone was like, he didn't want to. He wanted to hurt them until
Rand would turn.
Rand would turn. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Emperor, you know, telling Luke, oh, all your friends are going to die. Look, you're going to watch them die. Just join me like your father did. And then, you know, this can all be over.
The Emperor could have fought off Samuel L. Jackson, but it worked much better in his favor.
I saw a trailer today for the Star Wars Theory guy made that first Vader film, and it's where the end of it, you realize Mace is still alive.
Oh.
And then I saw the trailer for Vader 2 today, and it's he's like, stormtroopers drop down in like the lower area of Coruscant, and they just start getting, you know, just fucked up. You don't really see Mace until the very end. You just mostly see, you know, kind of silhouettes and a purple lightsaber. But man, it looks so cool.
A purple lightsaber.
If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's Vader. Star Wars Theory is the channel, and it's Vader Part One. It's only like 15 minutes, but dude, it is done as well as any canonical movie has been done.
That's rad.
For sure. This is a pretty cool.
Oh, who's this? Yeah, I don't remember this at all. Oh, yeah.
This is the place where they took Perrin in the first season when he was injured.
What?
And it's like a yellow kind of like basically hospital on the outskirts of Tarvalen. I think that's where Leandrin's son is. If he's not there, he's close by.
Yeah, because she doesn't travel that far.
And that's why she's going to steal this, because I think he's close by. No, but, you know, breakbone fever is what Egwene had when she was a kid. And right now you can actually see, you know, spirit, earth, and water being channeled in the colors. As she's using the healer, she's only using three of the powers. Nynaeve's awesome like that, though, because she's like that girl in Heroes that could just like watch something on YouTube and then she knew how to do it.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what it was, pretty much. Pretty cool. Nynaeve's like that with the power. She can basically, Egwene is too, to a certain extent, but Nynaeve, especially if it's healing, she can see it done once and she can usually improve upon it, which is cool. And she's not afraid to just go, you know, ham, balls out, kind of against the rules of healing. Because she just kind of does it by instinct, so it's pretty cool.
When you come here, the Yellow Sisters teach you that healing, it's a response to the symptoms and disease you presented with. But my
God, there's so much. they do such a good job of just making it feel huge.
Yeah. Yeah, this is probably two blocks.
And probably not even. It's probably a street, you know? Different angles and different shots and stuff, backgrounds. Look at Nynaeve's prayer. Damn, it's long. You see something right now I want to point out. Nynaeve has that kind of wide belt. She's not accepted yet. She's still a novice. You're not supposed to be able to wear anything at all.
Oh, really?
And so, like, they're showing you that she's definitely getting special treatment. She's getting pulled out of the tower by Liandrin and kind of just letting, she can follow Liandrin at a certain point, you know. She gets to keep her hair in her braid, which doesn't really matter as much, but like her wearing that wide belt and stuff like that, she's definitely getting some special treatment. She's not having to do chores. Like Egwene's like little goody two shoes. She's doing all of her chores and, you know, and all she ever hears is, Nynaeve's 1,000, 10 times stronger than you. And Egwene's just like, God damn it. It gets her face all scrunched up.
There's a lot of sweet cake.
Yeah, a lot of honey cakes, man. A
lot of honey cakes.
The guy that Rand was with in the asylum, he basically has, he's basically Drew Barrymore. He has 50 first date syndrome, apparently.
Oh, yeah, totally. We just watched Blended for the first time the other day.
No.
You should at least not.
I might have been naked.
Now my heart flutters at the thought.
No, I know. Oh, God, I want so much more Matt. Are they poisoned?
Boy.
I love how she doesn't really pull any punches either. She's like, look, if I wanted you to die, you'd die.
You're only alive because I allow you to live.
Yeah, she's so annoyed with him. She's like, oh my God, every time.
Fucking Moraine is making me take care of her fucking dog while she's alone on while she's gone on this endless trip.
Well, and like that's actually a good point because it's like, at whose behest is she working right now? You know, is Moraine a cover for, you know, Ishmael and what he's trying to do?
Sorry, I love Matt's little dance here.
I know his little shut the door. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I love it because that's like instead of saying how long he's been there, like that's a very clever way of just being like, oh, wow, he's been here a while.
Yeah. Well, and it's dead ass like it's kind of straight out of the book. That's one of the things that is a dead like total Easter egg from the book. When right after he gets healed, he's in the tower and, you know, he's walking around all scrawny and naked and the Aes Sedai brings in food and he's like, oh, and he's like, I'm not that hungry, actually. And he like pretends not to be hungry. And the second she leaves, he's just like, ah, rah, 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 and just eats fucking everything on the tray.
So should Egwene be wearing even this gray thing? Oh, I guess that's an apron.
It's just like an apron schmuck or whatever. Exactly.
So I'm trying to figure out if Egwene's getting special treatment or if they just don't. If they,
yeah, no.
Just as filmmakers need something more exciting to look at.
She's definitely not getting special treatment. That's definitely like her work attire. And then Elaine's, oh, thanks. She's like, go fuck yourself. I'm not your servant. No, I'm just wearing white for no reason. I like it because, you know, you see, this Ciara Coveney just kills Elaine because she's so perfect. Because she has that slight air of like, oh, I'm a little out of touch because I'm a royal. But then you get a hint of her character right away when Shiriam comes up and bitches her out. She's like, well, I need the name. And she's just like, nope, I'll take the punishment. And you could see Egwene's like, all right.
You didn't just move in.
I did not.
She's like, oh, did you just move in? She's like, no, I've been here for a couple of months. You're not supposed to have shit on your wall. Did you know that you're my subject? That's what I mean. She's like, oh, did you know that I'm your queen? And Queen's like, we don't have that in the Two Rivers.
I bow to no one. Egwene should just say, can I be there when you tell Nynaeve, please? Please.
Because that's going to be super fun. Oh, did you know that you're my subject, Nynaeve? Oh, go fuck myself? Okay, sweet. You sure you don't want some of my toilet wine? Okay.
Andor. You were my,
Hey, Queen, just like daughter, heir, Andor. I don't know these words. Bitch, I'm from Anitherin. Did you know that? It's funny because that actually like kind of becomes a point of contention at a certain point, because Perrin goes back to the Two Rivers and the Two Rivers grows to the point where people want to start calling it, like, I don't want to say New Minithrin, but it's kind of like, you know, it's going to become its own thing. And Elaine's kind of like, hey, this is a problem.
Yeah.
You're a part of my country. You can't be your own. And he's like, well, they don't like that. And he's just like, I don't really care, but my people say nay. So
nay, I say.
So I do believe that Alanna, even though she is quote unquote a younger Aes Sedai, less experienced, she, I think, has become a sitter in the hall for the green Aes Sedai that died, Kareen, that was killed by Loghain. She was a sitter in the hall, and like there's a certain point where you see like kind of an above shot of the hall of the tower or whatever, where they have their little meeting, and there's a green one that's missing or whatever. So
Oh. Fight
against him. The last battle's near, sister.
And would you not have Nynaeve at our side fighting?
Shiriam's clearly annoyed that her warders are sitting right there. She's just like, warders are for protection, not like to be part of the politics.
It's like, well, she's like, this is all foreplay, baby. We're gonna
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's obviously that Alanna's about to dip out with her warders. They're all packed and ready to go with their little knapsacks. She's like, if you're even going to be here for the vote, what the fuck? Like, you're clearly leaving. I feel like one of her warders is a dark friend. And I don't think it's the black guy. I think it's Rufus Jadakiss's husband.
Oh, good. Did you come to help?
No. Leandrin told me I could come by. She...
Leandrin Sedai just left. If you hurry, perhaps you can catch her.
I'd love to see a stage play of a Wheel of Time story.
I want it to be like Joffrey's name day party with the dwarves, or like the little, the little people, when they're reenacting all the Lannister fights and everything.
Totally. Ah, my name is Rand. I am the Dragon Reborn. No, you're not.
Seriously, give him a wand and shit. Just like, stop.
Don't fuck with my braid.
Exactly. I am a little pissed that Lan still hasn't called anyone sheepherder. I know him and Moraine were having feelings all summer long, but...
See, now she just comes out. Because I remember we were trying to figure out how far this little dungeon went.
So I think what... I don't know if you see... I think it was kind of like some Hogwarts shit, secret passageway type stuff. Because she kind of like walked into like a dead end, and she's kind of like feeling around, and then all of a sudden she's in this little hallway.
But then she...
And she pops out into the city.
I mean, she only walked like two blocks. I mean, maybe she walked farther, but she didn't like walk into another town. So...
Right. No, well, Tarvalin's big, but you know, it didn't seem like it was very far away, no.
Like, Leandrin's son is definitely in town.
Yeah, for sure. He's not very far away. I did see that they wrapped filming in Prague. I think they still have stuff to shoot in Morocco, which would be like, Aiel Weiss, Ryu Dan stuff for season three, but they're getting close to being done filming season three. And then they're, you know, obviously starting post-production on the stuff in Prague. Another thing I saw was Tom Maryland, the actor who plays Tom Maryland. His name is escaping me right now.
Yeah.
He had a little post that I saw someone repost. Said, oh, you know, season three, Wheel of Time is a wrap. So he obviously was filming it with the Prague people, I believe. So I would say that he's going to be in a part of like the Tarvalen, you know, city. If not, he won't. I don't think he'll be in the waste with Rand and Matt. I expect Rand and Matt to be in the Aiel waste.
Oh, yeah.
And Perrin's going to be heading back to the Two Rivers. Maybe that would be interesting is if Tom was actually in the Two Rivers with Perrin. That would be kind of cool. Instead of, you know, meeting with Matt, like in book three.
God,
you finished the Dragon Reborn, right?
I finished Dragon Reborn. I'm going to start number four soonish.
Yeah, no rush.
By Thanksgiving at the latest.
Yeah, no real rush on
well,
that.
Well, I want to be well into it by 2024. I want to make sure and have a couple good bookmarks ready to go for 2024.
It'll be easy. There's lots of them. It starts off really fast and never slows down.
So back to what you said, do you think I don't think Lan's going to be mean to Rand at all in the show.
I don't think it's mean. I have heard they have pushed back like the sword training. You're right. It's and honestly, you know, sheepherder is a term of affection from Lan, especially in the book, because that's about as, you know, he didn't even want to learn their names, you know, because he's like, you're all going to tie. So
did he call him that through the whole series?
To a certain. Yeah, I think so. He pretty much called him Sheeper. I think at the end he calls him Rand.
Because like if they've taken down Ishmael in the show, like he might have passed Sheepherder status already.
Well, I feel like we're going to get Sheepherder this season coming up. They pushed, one of the things they said is that they pushed the training with Lan and Rand back because they just couldn't make it work. But it is coming, so I'm assuming third season. I don't know. Dragon Reborn starts off, they're kind of like in a, you know, they're kind of in hiding out for the winter, so I'm wondering if maybe we'll get some version of that with, you know, Massima as the prophet, you know, being kind of infatuated with Rand, the dude you see looking up at the dragon in the sky. So I'm hoping that we'll get some sort of that, and then Rand's going to either take off to Tyr and then the waste, or, you know, I'm thinking that the sword that is not a sword is not going to be in Tyr. It's going to be either probably Camelin is what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I'd buy that.
Although I've been fucking wrong a lot. I was just listening to some of our old episodes. I'm like, incorrect, incorrect, incorrect. I was right about the dragon in the sky, but everything else, incorrect. Or maybe not completely incorrect. Like, you know, a certain little version of it, but like not what I was thinking in any way, shape, or form. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck, that wasn't great at all.
Well, because it's easy to just be like, well, if they're going to do it at all, then just do that. And then you're like, oh, I guess they could kind of do it, but then not do it and make it their own thing.
I mean, overall, like, I'm really happy with the way things have went. Second season. Ooh, dude, a puppet Trolloc is pretty cool. I thought that was really awesome.
Carnival.
Well, and that's a little like,
oh, this is where Rand is.
Yeah, that's a little callback to the books too. And like Rand sees some there's some puppet Trollocs, and then there's some ones that are Trollocs that are pretending to be puppets, and then they come and attack them.
So I forget after after episode one when they fight when Moraine and Lan and them fight the shadow, the fades. Do they stay in the same place? Do they go back to the same town?
Yeah, they get healed and they're in that village. They're at that like little villa with the Varen and Adelius still for a little bit. Yeah.
So I don't know why I was thinking they should probably get the fuck out of there since everyone knows where they are. But I guess with that many Aes Sedai's around, you're pretty safe.
They do pretty much as soon as they're healed. Well, Moraine does, right? She leaves without Lan, right?
Yeah.
So Rango's looking for this guy. And I feel like Rand's being fucked with right now, too, because it's like he's just going to rough him up a little bit. I mean, he starts to hear voices. And, like, I don't think that's the madness already. I mean, it could be a little bit, but you hear him, like, it's like he starts to channel and it's like, kill them all. And he looks all crazy.
That is not indistinct whispering. That is kill him.
Yeah. It says kill him. Kill him.
There is nothing.
Rand starts to have, well, and like at that, I don't know if he's being fucked with, but I do think that might be a little bit of his madness, because at a certain point, he starts to hear Luz Theron pretty prevalently. And anytime he gets around any man who could channel or really a threat, he's just like, kill him, kill him, kill him now.
Really?
What do you think about, you've got enough of Varen. What do you think about Varen? She's a little less ditzy in the show, but she still is kind of like, she's disarming and she gets people to talk out of turn. I thought, like, and, you know, you people are halfway into a conversation. They're like, shit, I shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
She's obviously very astute. You know, she picks up, well, obviously, you know, one of those boys is the dragon reborn. And so let's just talk about it. And it's like, that's a little bit of a callback to the conversation that Varen is privy to with Moraine and Swan. And they're just like, oh, shit, she knows.
Yeah.
She's already figured it out.
No, I think she's perfect because, yeah, she's such a, because I think you guys were saying, I can't really remember in the book super well, but you guys were saying how she looks older than you guys expected. And I think that makes her super disarming. She just looks like a sweet cake bacon grandma.
Yeah. And
that you just want to kind of spill your guts to.
Exactly. And it's like, is she just the way she kind of asks her questions and stuff? People will be like, they find themselves, you can tell they find themselves answering before they're like, I didn't expect to say that.
Well, no. 6 summers here as a girl, and you'd know it like the back of your hand, too. But I didn't want to miss the chance to get to know you better.
Yeah, you don't really need me to show. Yeah. That's something that's a little bit different. I don't think Elaine spent summers at the tower. Her mother spent some time at the tower, but so that's a little bit different. I wonder if there's a reason for that.
She just seems so comfortable here. Like I feel like it's just an aside just for us to understand. Cause even as royalty, like you still are a little nervous about going off to a strange college. and she's just like, woohoo, here's my shit.
Doesn't matter if you're rich and you live in Boston, it's still nervous to go, it's still nerve wracking to go to Harvard. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to go to Hogwarts.
Yo, where the fuck do I get some toilet wine around here?
It's coming, don't worry. She hasn't even been there that long. How'd she brew it that fast? She must use the power.
They pay attention to you. The only time an Aes Sedai ever talks to me is to ask where my friend is.
At least you have a friend, Egwene. Is that water out there, or is that just fog? Or is
it's an island. It's surrounded by water. 100%.
Was it an island? Or is it like a
Tarvalon's an island. No, it's an island.
Oh.
Like there's a big river and it splits.
I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, you should look at it sometimes. North Harbor is a euphemism. Once you look at it, you'll see. The little man in the boat in North Harbor. And it's where the women's seat of power is in this whole world. Have you really not looked at it?
Apparently not.
Look it up right now.
Oh my God.
Spoiler alert, it looks like a vagina.
Oh, how have we not talked about this?
There's so many jokes. Because Jeremy's on the podcast. He needs to prove. We're getting loose tonight, buddy.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
The Crimson Thorn. I thought you were trying to kill him.
I thought he was a man who could challenge.
Dude, Leandrin's face. She's so mad that she followed her. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? You better get the fuck out of here, lady.
Oh my God.
You see it? You see it? You like it?
I do like it. But where is it on the big map?
It's dead center of the world.
Still be hurting when you go. Need turmeric to help smooth the inflammation.
Get out! Before I kill you, you get out!
I don't know about you, but I don't think slapping someone across the face who's trying to help you heal your son is very Aes Sedai-y. Are you frozen, or you just have that shock mouth open like Perrin? Is it Perrin? Is Marcus Rutherford here?
The way of the leaf doesn't work.
I will say this. Second season, Marcus Rutherford was much better. Even he said, he's like, I just sat in the corner and looked sad in the whole first season. And so, I can't really point to like one scene where his mouth is like open. Like we used to, I was listening to some old episodes. I made fun of it a lot. That ever meet that kid, he's going to kill me.
And I cut a lot out too. Like after a while.
I know.
After a while, I was like, we know, Jess.
It's not just me though. There's someone else who's like, oh, my man Perrin looks like Eeyore. And I was like, a little bit. I love Matt. It's like, you're going. I mean, I guess, whatever. What else do you have to do with your time? But he's just like, where do you think you're going to go? It's like fucking the thickest wall ever.
He just wants to talk to anybody. Is it that little blue dot in the middle? Is that where Tarvalon is?
Uh-uh.
Where the fuck is Tarvalon?
Another cell.
More towards the middle.
What?
So you're the person that's been scratching at my wall. So what did you do to piss off the blonde?
Nothing.
Is it a sex thing there? Yeah, she looks like she'll be into domination. There's cheekbones.
Nah, luckily I'm not that type.
So they just have men waiting in there. It's like, God, I wish this motherfucker would hurry up and get through the wall. Christ.
All right, I'll do that later. Sorry, everybody. I told you there'd be some silence. I was staring at maps for 5 minutes.
Map porno.
I can't find the little man in the boat.
I can't find it. I've been looking for like 10 minutes. I can't find it. Try harder.
I'm sorry.
I do love that, you get some really great Matt and Min stuff at the end of the books. I did like to see them together. Early, and it's kind of fun for me anyways. I thought it was cool. It's a little sad later on, obviously, but that's something that they changed that I do kind of like. It's made Min a little more interesting. And actually, while we're on a little dead spot, could you remind me of the name of our new patron?
Sammy. I can't remember her last name. I'm pretty sure it's her.
Thank you, Sammy. Sammy Witwicky. No, I'm just kidding. thank you for being a patron. And if you have a suggestion for a movie, please hit us up. I believe you said she had a question.
Sammy Biddington.
Oh, Sammy Biddington. Is Sammy a she or he or do we know? I don't really care.
I'm pretty sure it's a she. I don't want to
address anyone wrong, is all I'm saying. So
yeah.
I believe Sammy asked a question about, kind of making that Matt and Min, kind of hooking up a little earlier is fun. And that do we think that Min could end up with Egwene? So here's the thing. Later on, Min becomes an important character to someone who is affiliated with the Seanchan and becomes kind of like a omen reader, soothsayer type of person for them. So I think what she maybe was asking, I don't know if she meant romantic. I don't know if Sammy meant romantically or if they meant just kind of like in a advisor sense. Romantically would be interesting. I don't know how or why they would pull that off because she's very important. Min is very important to Rand canonically for she's basically his conscience towards the end of it. She keeps him from really be going, going all the way dark. So if she were to be kind of like in Egwene's pocket, I could almost see him kind of her being used against him in a way that like would maybe kind of make him kind of do the opposite of that and lose his shit, you know, because, you know, she has it. If she has Egwene's back the way she had, like if they are somehow romantic or an advisory capacity, if she has Egwene's back the way she has Rand's back in the books, it could be a problem for Rand if because at a certain point Rand and Egwene do butt heads a little bit about some things, and that would be interesting. I don't know how they'd pull it off, but I'm here for it. I'd be totally down to check it out. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. And apologies, Sammy, the one I have four devices right now, and the one device I can actually navigate on, I can't find my Patreon login for.
It's all right. We're going to shout you out next time. We'll shout you out on the Patreon too. So,
send me your address. I'll give you some swag and send us a fantasy movie you want to watch. And hopefully Justin remembered your question enough to answer it.
I feel like that was pretty good. I think we did all right. I do love was it K. Alexander, I think is her name. The gal who plays Min. I think she's amazing. Not exactly how I pictured Min, but forever now, she's Min. And I love Donald as Matt. Like, God, he's so good.
Where did Min get the wine again? Is she making toilet wine too?
They've been giving it to her because she's not a prisoner. She's a guest. She's just basically there waiting for Matt to cut through the wall, I guess, to go, you know, Maddie Dufresne on her.
So you were talking about how Matt and Min, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent about books versus show, but do you think they're rushing a few things just in case they're like, all right, we're only going to get four seasons. Like, if we get six seasons, if we get six seasons, we can stretch this out and have some fun with it. But if we only get four seasons, we don't have to rush it in some weird, uncomfortable way either.
I think they're trying to make it to where if it ever is just like, okay, that was it. Sort of like the way Robert Jordan wrote it. I think he wrote a lot of the books until he got to like five, going like, this might be the last one. And so we try to kind of wrap him up every time. I almost feel like they're going to try to do that with each season. It's going to try to kind of put a nice little bow on it, whether it makes 100% sense or not, which is, you know, the first season was like, well, once the second season came out, it made the first season much better because it made things that didn't make a lot of sense make more sense. And, you know, I got to say, I all criticism aside, I think for what they have had to deal with and losing one of their main actors and having to rewrite things, I feel like, you know, a lot of the rewriting that had to happen was, you know, just to figure out how to fit Matt back into the show and why he was back in Tarvalen and not with Perrin when he's got to be there eventually. You know, how's he going to get there? So I feel like that took some finagling. And, you know, I just think that they've had to deal with a lot of shit. There's a war over there, you know, obviously all of the stuff that's going on. I don't even want to get into because I'm sure people get enough of it and we're here to just kind of be light and have fun. It's not lost on me what's going on over there as well. You know, they've had to deal with those things, which are don't even fucking make TV shows not even fucking matter, obviously. But then, you know, they've had writer strikes and COVID. And, you know, I still think they've managed to pull off two really good seasons of television. And I'm really excited for three. And I really hope that fourth gets greenlit because I really think like the fourth book launched the series into the stratosphere bookwise. I think the third season will really do that because, you know, I see people who are familiar with the source material. Like you posted the stuff on Facebook. Dave, you know, Hercules was like, hey man, second season was a lot better. I'm going to have to check you guys out and listen to you guys. You know, he's read the books through a couple of times. You know, James Hopper said the same thing.
Yeah.
Steve Graham hit me up, man.
Oh, no way.
He was like, bro, season two was great. I just finished reading the books a couple of weeks ago. I'm all in. I got to check you guys out.
Oh.
And he was not like a Wheel of Time person, as far as I know, before the show came out. So I thought that was cool. You know, some people that listeners, you know, James, I've known James for, you know, 22 years. I've known Steve Graham for 20. He DJ'd my wedding.
That's right.
I told Hercules, I go, man, you gotta come on, bro. Tell some stories. Like,
increase the pressure and speed up the fermentation. They're just much more manageable that way.
It packs a punch.
Sorry.
You work this out on your own.
I like to tinker with things. Plus, when one has no friends and isn't allowed to have fun.
We could just have me, you, and like, think about this. Me, you, Lisa, Dave. I might be able to get a hold of Clayton. Just sit down and talk about Ross.
I think Clayton might have hit me up years ago on, because I started a Discord account a long time ago just to have one and never used it. And I think he like hit me up on there and like his account might be dead, but there was like a Clayton something something wave on my Discord account. I tried to hit him back, but Discord was like, dude, this message is dead. Oh my God. We could definitely have a Blue Bistro fucking reunion. Holy shit. Still using that printer, baby. Thanks, Ross. Thanks for the printer. I fucking used it yesterday.
No shit.
Fucking still.
That's hilarious.
I love that printer.
That's funny.
Hardest thing is, she says she came here for me.
Egwene's starting to get a little, she's just like, I love how Nynaeve like walks up. It's like, it's a whole Mean Girls moment. It's just like her and Elaine are just like, they're drinking her toilet wine and talking shit about Nynaeve. Like, no, she never does, she just does whatever she wants. God, so sick of it. Everything's come so easy to her. Well, your friend Nynaeve is in pain, okay, Egwene? And you're getting drunk.
Becoming Leandrin's bloody protege. That is uncalled for.
And you know what? Egwene, you're just sitting there getting drunk with your ginger buddy. Your little freckle-faced alcoholic rich girl.
You've got nothing.
I know we're only just getting to know each other, so I hope you'll forgive me when I say jealousy.
Who's adorable.
And of course, it's like a
perfect Elaine.
Like a 90210 episode. Nynaeve walks away just in time to miss the apology.
I know. Just total 90s television. Like, oh, I'm the worst. Like, oh, she was actually just giving you all the credit you deserved.
This is now a sitcom. This is a comedic situation.
Well, she's kind of like, fuck Elaine for, you know, being on her side. And like, Elaine's actually the one who's kind of like, hey, you know, like, maybe she's having a hard time too, right?
The bait and switch.
No.
What is about to be offered to you, I would, but I've already set the wheels in motion, so here we are. Follow me.
Oh! Forget how early this happens. Holy crap.
I know.
Oh, end of two. Go into the arches.
This is one of the things in the second season. I'm bummed that Jeremy's not here for us. I think, like, as disappointed as he was with some things, I think he really appreciated this. I think this is something that's a direct nod and callback from the book. And while they did have to change her testing a little bit, one of the things that she doesn't go through in this texting is she's battling one of the Forsaken she dealt with. I wouldn't say she fought him. He pretty much manhandled her. He pretty much manhandled her at the Eye of the World in the first book, but he doesn't exist really in the show so much. So, that's like, it's, you know, this strikes me as a little bit odd too, because, you know, in the books, I hate saying in the books all the time, but, you know, there's several people around, you know, there's like a lot of Aes Sedai's.
Yeah.
It's just this seems a little sketchy. Like, so does anyone else know I'm even fucking down here? Or are you bitches trying to murder
me? Yeah, I know this is a big deal, but should this be a secret ceremony?
Like, right, I know. Is this the skulls? Or I mean, what's going on? Do I have to like, is this, oh,
this doesn't feel legal. I feel like I'm gonna go through the arches and not actually be an Aes Sedai because there's no one here to ratify it.
Right. Do we need witnesses? Does this need to be like a Is this like a notarized type of thing? I don't know.
You tell me. I'm just the novice.
Did you catch that right there? Lan was literally taking the poem out of her, or I think he was putting it back, but he was stealing that poem about Lanfear. I think he was stealing it.
I think that was him. Yeah, I know at some point he steals it.
Because he's got it later, so I'm pretty sure he took it.
I think that was just his acknowledgement of it, and I think he snatches it for keeps later.
I do understand the things that Jeremy like has problems with in ways, because it's like, while stuff between Lan and Moraine makes a lot of sense, and it's they're trying to build tension and drama as they head towards the end of the season, the distrust and not knowing whether she can channel or not. I think Lan kind of realizing like, hey, I'm still, you know, receiving benefits from the bond. You know, one of the things that I forgot to mention, I guess we didn't really get to deal with it the first episode. Moraine can still see weaves when other people channel, and generally that means that you can channel. So to me, as a book reader, you know, obviously someone who's not reading the books may not kind of pick up on that, but to me as a book reader, that's a dead giveaway that she's only shielded, not still, because she shouldn't be able to see anything.
And thank you for that, because it keeps on freaking me out that, like, because I keep on being like, no, she had to have been channeling somehow.
Yeah,
but
no,
I forget that
not.
Just the fact that she could see the weaves was a big enough deal, which meant that she could someday probably channel again.
Right. And it's one of the things that actually, you know, Jeremy does point out. He's like, you know, the lack of subtlety in the storytelling sometimes is frustrating. That being said, they get so subtle sometimes that you can miss it.
Yeah.
And like, if you're a book reader, you'll pick up on it. But if you're someone who's just watching the show, it may not land in a way that you want it to. You know, I think that that's why when we do these, it's like I try to, we get a little bit off of it, but I try to like take notes before and bring up things that I think that are important, because it's, you know, I think it's important. And it's one of those things, I think, that they wanted to do nuanced things, and because of the, you know, bullshit they've had to deal with, they haven't been able to either have it pay off or do it. You know, it's like they've kind of, it's almost like, well, we're doing nuance. Nope, now we're just doing a fantasy show. Yeah. And it's like, they can't kind of decide. They kind of keep popping back and forth. What's it going to be? And I think that is probably where some of his frustration comes from, because I've felt that way at times. I'm like, are we building? Are we going? What are we doing?
Yeah, go pick a lane.
There's moments where it feels stuck in the mud.
Be in my face fantasy, or be super mystical.
Right. High drama fantasy, you know.
Low key. Yeah. But there is.
I'm like, I don't understand this 100% either. You know, he's basically, it's definitely foreshadowing the forcible taking of a bond, but I don't know why I'm assuming she's pushing Lan away because she's expecting to go to Carheen and die.
Okay.
And if, you know, she goes there and dies, then Lan's gonna, you know, she's expecting, I think, to go there and die to protect Rand, or to help Rand and dedicate whatever's left of her life to Rand. And that if Lan does what warders do, he's going to get in the way, or he's going to, you know, maybe cause some sort of a problem.
Or, and she's probably worried too, that like, even as badass as he is, without her Aes Sedai protection, she's probably going to get him killed too. So she's like, well,
and if she were to die, you know, the warders go all rage. So, and she's not even sure. I know, at least I feel like Moraine's not sure that will happen, but I feel like Lan kind of has the feeling that's exactly what will happen. That's what's funny to me about this, is that Lan seems more aware of what's going on with the power than Moraine does, which shouldn't be the case, but I do understand what they're trying to set up.
I forget what's going on here. So yeah, this town was abandoned because the Fades came in and killed
it. No, this is they showed up, they left that spot, and they showed up at this town and are just kind of resting, and the Shan Chan show up. Those motherfuckers, why are you staring at me while I sleep, dog? Shit's creepy. Oh, damn, you see what's going on in the background? That was Massima fighting. Massima's a badass, dude.
It's funny, I keep complaining about it, but I think every episode ends with a badass fight. I keep complaining that there's not enough battles, but...
Lisa was laughing about that. She's like, fucking Desmond, every episode ends with a fight. It's not enough. That being said, they're not exactly using lethal force, if you notice. They're definitely walking around clubbing and capturing, not killing.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because they're looking for the ladies.
Sean Chan want soul. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh, no. Look at those axes swinging.
Man. Ooh, no. Ooh. Oh, no. Uno's the dude.
Come on, parent. Find an axe and use it.
The way of the leaf isn't. Well, at least he was gritting his teeth. His teeth bared in a rictus snarl.
Oh, yeah.
I do love this. They made Loyal look, you know, just sufficiently badass as far as I'm concerned. He's huge. Like, you know, the whatever tricks they did with the camera made him look so much cooler.
Powerful. Yeah. Hulk that dude.
It would have been cool if, dude, that was awesome. He threw that dude like 15 feet. It would have been awesome if Perrin just stood up and snapped that dude's neck. Because that's Perrin's strong like that. Damn, that was awesome. He threw that dude 14 feet up that building and broke his back. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Massima's killing it.
Fuck.
Look at it. He threw that dude 35 feet. Pimping. He threw that dude 12 feet.
Is that Tim Allen doing the voice of the Ogier?
Yeah, definitely. Welcome to Ogier time with Loyal. Yeah, your name sings in my ears and all that. Can we go? Yeah. Nanny is such a turd.
Oh, shit. Here comes the big guns.
Yeah, like, oh, you want to play? I guess we'll just, you know, chant.
Oh, that's what's your name? What's their name? Right there on the right.
Rena.
Is that Egwene's keeper?
I think one of them. I feel like one of them's Rena. Yeah.
Yeah. So she must die right here then.
Yeah. On the right. Who?
Her.
Nah. They.
You can have multiple.
So damn. Switch. Yeah. They just. It's like.
Once they get trained, they're interchangeable.
Soldams are almost, yeah, property almost as much as a domain is, a demani is, because they, you know, they're like a guard and they switch demani all the time.
Oh, I thought it was a little more like an Aes Sedai word thing. I thought they kind of bonded with their slave.
I think sometimes it depends. It's like, you know, it depends on who you work for, right? Like if you work for one of the high blood, you know, there's probably, they have their own personal demani. And then you have, you know, demani that are assigned to the armies, I'm assuming, you know. This is pretty intense. They go through and just start picking out the women that can channel.
Oh, is this now? I thought this
indefinitely.
Was. Indefinitely. I think it's the beginning of the next. No.
I think they don't think they start here. This is coming.
Yeah, I think Uno gets stabbed at the beginning of the next episode.
Was that Rena? I think it was, dude.
That's Uno's wife. No, Uno's wife's one on the left, right? Guy Roberts.
Yeah. Alwyn is her name. Jessica Boone. So we decided that everyone can see Ishmael, right?
I don't remember. I definitely think so.
I feel like everybody can see him. I don't think he's just like a, you know.
He's just a guy.
Yeah.
Well, he's not just a guy, but he appears as...
Rand's eating those stale pancakes again. Put some butter on them and some jam, bro.
Seriously. Put some persimmons.
So the reason why I was wondering, you know, it's like Rand obviously is going to rough that guy up or whatever to so he can be with Loghain, and then he fucks him up pretty good. Ooh, I want to know who's helping him. You know, obviously, I feel like they pushed him to hurt that guy because they're trying to get him. And I feel like it's Lanfear because she wants someone to teach him as well.
Well, and speaking of little things that we missed, like we must have seen that guy he beat to death in the asylum the previous day. Like there's no way.
Yeah, he jumps out and scares the old guy.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Your usual orderly had a terrible accident last night. So I'll be taking care of you for the next
I think months. We missed it too. You see a lionfish in this episode, which they talk about lionfishes all the time. And what they look like, if anybody who's listening to Des, or you know, you should hit this up too. Look up Goliath tigerfish. That's what they look like.
Oh. All right, folks. Directed by Thomas Napier, written and televised by Catherine, developed by Rafe Lee Jenkins, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Randy Jeffcoat.
Thank you for listening to Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. And please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thankthelight. That is patreon.com/thankthelight. We have and will continue to produce Wheel of Time content for free. But if you could help us with some production costs, we would be greatly appreciative. We are asking for $3 a month. And to show our appreciation, you will receive an exclusive podcast every month. We do not want to put any Wheel of Time content behind a paywall, so those Patreon episodes will be of a different fantasy movie while we unfairly compare it to the Wheel of Time. We have done Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves. We're running a little bit late on our October episode, so what I did is I threw up our Time Pop Patreon episode. So up there, there is a Spider-Verse. No, is it Spider-Verse? I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, we're doing Princess Bride next week. Princess Bride is going to be our second Patreon episode. You're going to get your four episodes by the end of the season. You're going to get, you know, we're running a little bit late, but I'm promising you at least an episode a month. We're getting caught up. I've got a lot of extra recording that I've been doing on top of these new Patreons. But you'll also receive a little gift pack full of swag. We got some cool Thank the Light coasters, stickers, all that stuff. So, and on top of it all, you get to pick the movie. If you're one of the first people to join, which we're growing our Patreon page slowly, so there's still plenty of room to get in there and have you pick one of the fantasy movies we watch. Next, we're going to do Princess Bride, and then we're going to do Beastmaster, and then we're going to do whatever movie you want us to do. If you like the show and would like to continue to support us for free, we just ask again that you like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailment. We are now at Parched Ailment on Twitter. We are at Parched Ailment on Instagram. We are Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast on Facebook. So we're going to be all over the social medias. Please come chat with us, especially chat with Fatty at Parched Ailment on the X app. We'll see you next week for some more commentaries. I hope you enjoy rewatching season two along with us right now. And happy late Halloween. Have a great time. I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. I am not perfect. No, that's imaginary. But I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. Never follow a podcaster to a second location.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Prime, the Wheel of Time, episode 3, What Might Be. I'm going to watch the previously on because a lot of times it goes back to like season 1 or something and reminds me of things.